So we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, this first canto, first chapter, 20th verse. And you can read after me. Kritvan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimartayani bhagavan gula kapatamanushah. So we are, yes, you know, word to word meaning, kritvan, done by, kila, what, karmani, acts, saha, along with, ramena, balram, keshavah, Shri Krishna, Atimartayani, superhuman, Bhagwan, the personality of Godhead, Gudaha, masked as, Kapata, apparently, Manushaha, human being. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. I have to read like that. Do you have first canto here? Do you have? Can you just give me? Translation. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balram, played like a human being, and so masked he performed many superhuman acts. Purport. The doctrine of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism are never applicable to Sri Krishna or personality of Godhead. The theory that a man becomes God by the dint of penances and austerities is very much rampant nowadays, especially in the India. This, since Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were detected by sages and saints to the personality of Godhead, as indicated in revealed scriptures, many unscrupulous men have created their own incarnations. This process of concocting an incarnation of God has become ordinary business, especially in Bengal. Any popular personality with a few traits of mystic powers will display some feat of jugglery, easily become an incarnation of Godhead by a popular vote. Lord Krishna was not that type of incarnation. He was actually the personality of Godhead from the very beginning of his appearance. He appeared before his so-called mother as four-armed Vishnu. Then at request of the mother, he became like human child and at once left her for another devotee at Gokul, where he was accepted as son of Nand Maharaj, Yashoda Mata. Similarly, Sri Baldev, the counterpart of Lord Krishna, was also considered a human child born of another wife of Sri Vasudev. In Bhavaita, the Lord says that his birth and deeds are transcendental and that anyone who is fortunate as to know the transcendental nature of his birth and deeds will at once become liberated, eligible to return to the kingdom of God. So the knowledge of transcendental nature of the birth and deeds of Lord Krishna is sufficient for liberation. In the Bhagavatam, the transcendental nature of the Lord is described in 9 cantos, and in 10th canto, his specific pastimes are taken up. All this becomes known as one's reading of this literature progresses. It is important to note here, however, that the Lord exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother, that his deeds are all superhuman. He lifted Govardhan Hill at the age of 7. And all these acts definitely prove him to be actually Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet due to his mystic covering, he was always accepted as ordinary human child by his so-called father and mother and their relatives. Whenever some Herculean task was performed by him, the father and mother took it otherwise. And then they remained satisfied with unflinching filial love for the son. As such, the sages of Naimisharanya describe him as apparently resembling a human being, but actually his Supreme Almighty Personality of Godhead. This is a very beautiful verse, and I'll tell you why it's a very important verse. Okay. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurvani Pracharane Nirvisheshunnevadi Bhaischateshtarane. Okay, so this verse is almost the end of chapter 1. And sages asked some questions to Sutta Goswami Shaunakrishi. There were around six questions which they asked. And so Sutta Goswami, then he answered these six questions in Bhagavatam, which will come ahead. So actually Bhagavatam begins by first canto, second chapter. Not first canto, first chapter. That's a preamble there. Almost like that. So out of the six questions, this question was very important. And this verse is also another verse which is very sweet to Mayavadis. And I'll tell you why. The other verse I told you, that one, what was that verse? Remember? Atmani Ishvara, that verse. Vidyate hirde granthi chidyante sarva samshaya shiyante chasya karmani trishtva eva atmana ishvare. It's right, first canto chapter 1 only, behind that. So that was one, this is one. And I'll talk about it when that word comes, okay. So the first word which Sutta Goswami says, kritvan. Now this word is very important. And the word-to-word meaning is done by. So the idea is, Sutta Goswami is asking, Shaunakrishi extra is asking to Sutta Goswami, kritvan, what did Krishna do? The idea is do. And that's what Krishna is teaching us. Vande Krishnam Jagat Gurum. We say Krishna is the spiritual master of all living entities. He does something and he also expects us to do something. He's always active. And that is why Vedanta Sutra, there's a sutra, Leela Anukrito Syat. Leela, it's a famous sutra actually, by the way. Leela Anukrito Syat. And the idea of that sutra is, Krishna is always engaged in some Leela. Leela means, so you know what the meaning of Leela? Past times, but then what do you understand by past? Past times is not just, you know, he's like freaking out. It's not in that sense. Past times in the sense, Leela, in the sense, he is always coming up with some plans. That's the idea. He's always coming with some plans to please his devotees. That's Leela all about. So he is doing something, and that is, he expects us to do. And that is a definition of sadhana bhakti, by the way. So Rupa Goswami, in the eastern wave of Nectar of Devotion, and in the second chapter, 1.2.1, he gives a definition of sadhana bhakti. And he begins with this word, this very word. And the definition in Sanskrit goes like this, kriti sadhe bhavet sadhe sa sadhana vidha iti sadhana. So that is, Rupa Goswami uses the word krit. Krit, you see krit, the word there? The root word, krit. From krit, it becomes kritvan. So krit means to do something. You know, root word. And when you say kritvan, then you are referring to a person. What did he do? So he, Rupa Goswami says, what is sadhana? Now that's very interesting. He, Prabhupada comments on that. Prabhupada explains that definition in English. Rupa Goswami says, kriti sadhe bhavet sadhe bhava sa sadhana bhida. Sadhana bhakti has two things. And the first thing is kriti sadhya. Sadhana bhakti has kriti. Kriti means, now you understand kriti word. The word krit is a verb, which means to do. Kriti means what is done. Just like a potter. A potter makes a pot. So the act of making a pot is krit. And the pot is what? Kriti. And the potter is what? Kritvan. Simple. That's how it Sanskrit goes. So the idea is kriti sadhe. Rupa Goswami says, what is sadhana? Sadhana is kriti. Sadhana is not just action. Sadhana is an action which produces a result. He uses the word kriti and not just krit. So that's why Prabhupada always says, what is the result, isn't it? When Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to come, so where are the results? He used to ask. He was very result oriented, Srila Prabhupada. Of course, when results don't come, even after sincere efforts, devotee is not discouraged, but he wants some results to come to offer to Krishna. And that's what Rupa Goswami says, Kriti Sadhya, there has to be a result. Now what kind of result do we want? In devotion. Okay, one result is, when we are preaching, we want a substantial result, which can benefit the world, like temples, like devotees, like prasadam. But then, the main result of whatever you are doing is, Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya Bhava. You want bhava. That's the idea. Bhava. That is the result of the practice of devotion. Chanting, reading, whatever we are doing, we want bhava. And bhava means attachment to Lord Krishna. That's what we are looking for. That is complete sadhana. A practice of devotion with a goal in the vision. The goal as an aim of life, with attachment as an aim of life, that is called sadhana. Otherwise your sadhana bhakti is not complete. If you forget the goal, everything is gone. So that is why he uses Kriti Sadhya. It's very nice. So Krishna is looking for our practice, sincerity in practice, and also he is looking that practice should lead to a particular goal, and that is emotions for him, feelings for him, attachment for him. That's a goal. That's what I quoted. Prabhupada says, initially you are attached to service and later you become attached to the person whom you are becoming served. That's what we are looking for. That's what you have to keep your mind fixed. Otherwise, if we keep on doing something and then no result. A potter keeps on making pots, but if he doesn't make a pot, what kind of potter he is? The failure. Okay, Kritvan. So Sutta Goswami is saying, okay, as devotees do something for Krishna, Krishna is doing something for devotees. It's a reciprocation. Krishna does and you do. See? Why devotion is all about action? Why not meditation? Because Krishna is doing something for us. And we repay him in action, isn't it? He does and we do. So what he did, Sutta Goswami Krishi is asking, Kritvan Kila. Kila means basically what here. Kila in Sanskrit also means certainly. Please tell us in certain exactly what Krishna did from this age, from this age, from this age, in a systematic way. Not in a random way. So Bhagavatam, if you read 10th canto, it goes in a very systematic way. From Krishna's Kumar Avastha, Kumar, 1 to 5 years, and then he did childhood past. Then 5 to 10 years, Pogand Avastha, Govardhan Hill, Gopis, Ras Leela, and then from 11 years to 15 years, that's Kishore Avastha. He went to Mathura, and this and that. And then from 15 years onwards, that is Yauvan Avastha, he went to Dwarka. Everything is very systematic, and if you read any song of our acharyas, Rupa Goswami, anybody, they always write songs in a very systematic way. Or Rupa Goswami has written this book, Stavamala. He divides the book in systematic way. Krishna's childhood pastimes, young pastimes, adult pastimes, then Radha's pastimes, then Krishna and Radha's pastimes. You see, it's all very systematic. Our sampradaya is known for this systematization, you know. Nathya Thakur books are systematic, Prabhupada is systematic. So he says, okay, please tell us, certainly, killer. The idea is we want to hear that. The idea is, please tell us, Prabhupada says there, first to 9 cantos is developing the transcendental nature of Lord, helping us to understand that is supreme. And the 10th canto describes the pastimes. Now here is the point. In every sampradaya, even in Nibbark Sampradaya, if you go, they advise you to read first 9 cantos for 10 years. You're not supposed to go to 10th canto. It's like that. We have to prepare yourself to understand who is Krishna. And Prabhupada, in fact, so Satsuru Maharaj recounts a pastime of Prabhupada in his book. And so Prabhupada was talking to his all sannyasis, and sannyasis were saying, you know, this Krishna is so nice and this. Then Prabhupada quoted that verse, Bahunam Janmanam Ante ज्ञानवान वाम प्रपद्यते वासुदेवम सर्वम इति स महात्मा सुदुर्लभ. Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita gives a purport in a very different way, but in discussions he takes the meaning of this verse in a very different way. In the purport, Prabhupada says, yeah, out of jnanis will take millions of years to understand Krishna, but for devotees, Vasudevam Sarvameti, they understand. This is a spiritual meaning of this verse. But if you take a devotional meaning of this verse, like strictly devotional, Prabhupada says, devotees are saying, yeah, Prabhupada, yeah, as a devotee we understand Krishna. Prabhupada says, nonsense. Prabhupada says, you don't know who is Krishna. Whatever you know, that is material adjustment in your mind. You don't know what is his spiritual nature. Because if we know Krishna, we cannot be attracted to Maya. It's impossible. It's impossible. I mean to say, if you know something, now we are staying here, so we can't go and stay in slums. You know slums? You can't stay. You're staying here, you know. You know the value of this. Similarly, if you know Krishna, you can't be attracted to this nonsense beauty of this material world. It's impossible. Even if we know Krishna 0.01%, even if Krishna's 0.01, a drop of beauty, you drop and drop, a drop of beauty touches your soul, not just your mind, this material world will stop attracting you. Right at the root of your desires, it'll just finish. That is killer. Please tell us about Krishna in such a way so that we get free of all desires and we are fully fixed on Krishna. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Gaudiya Math. In fact, in his Gaudiya Math, Bhakti Siddhanta didn't allow his devotees to read any book for first 5 years. Then was he. You're not supposed to read. So basic books you can read, okay, Bhagavad Gita, maybe first two cantos of Bhagavatam. But then higher books and 10th canto, forget it. First 6 years, no, just serve. That was the Lord. He was preparing them to understand the transcendental nature and the pastimes of Lord. And then they say, so the question is, okay, so what do you want to know about Krishna? So Shaunak Sutta Goswami says, Shaunak Rishi says, karmani. We want to know about his acts. Now Prabhupada translates karmani as acts. Yeah. Acts. We want to know his actions, two types of actions. One, his action of premdan. Premdan, giving love to his devotees. And the other type of action is dharmopdesham, to establish religion. Both actions we want. So we want actions which help us understand dharma, and instructions according along with that, and we want actions to know which helps, which actually is giving bliss and love to his devotees. And that's what Bhagavad Gita says, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Paritranaya sadhunam means he delivers his devotees by giving them love, because without love devotees will die. So he comes and gives them love and saves their life. Paritranaya sadhunam. Prabhupada explains like that. And vinashaya cha duskritam. And destroying the evil forces and establishing religious dharma. Dharan samsthapna arthaya. So Krishna has two types of actions. One is out of love. One is out of mercy. And both we want to know. This is what Krishna is. All his actions can be divided into two categories. In spiritual world, his actions are out of love. In material world, his actions are out of mercy. In spiritual world, love wins. Love overpowers mercy. You don't say to your mother that I will have mercy on you. Mother will not say to child, I will have mercy on you. It makes no sense, because they're in love with each other. In material world, mercy wins over love, because that's this word all about. Krishna is coming with a mission. And for extending mercy to the conditioned souls, Krishna abandons his love in all three pastimes. In pastime of Ram, he abandons his beloved Sita to do Ramayana, to his pastimes as Ram, and deliver this word and kill Ravan. As Krishna, he does pastimes of At Krishna, he abandons Vrajvasis, goes to Dwarka to get rid of all these demons in this world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he abandons his beloved wife and mother. See? So love wins over mercy. And that's, so this, all this complexity, love and mercy, and the competition in love and mercy, all these acts we want to know. The three type of actions now. One is out of love, one is out of mercy, and the competition between love and mercy. All these three actions are explained in Srimad Bhagavatam if we read it properly. But then Sutta Goswami, Shaunak Rishi says, well, Saha Ramena Keshava. We want to know actions which are done by Keshava. Now this word is very important. In Bhagavatam, many names of Krishna is used, isn't it? Just like in Bhagavad Gita, how many names of Krishna are there? Do you know this? There are many names of Arjuna and many names of Krishna. So I think there are some 42 names of Krishna used. 42. Madhusudhan, Achyuta, Govinda, isn't it? So many names. And in fact, because Arjuna was chanting his names along with the message, Arjuna was asking, no, Param Dham, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, and Achyuta, Keshava. And some acharyas comment that because of his chanting of holy names, he could understand the message. Otherwise, he would have not understood Gita if it was pure philosophy. That's the power of holy names there. Even if they are chanted unconsciously, they are coming just in message, you know, and just going. So that's so they are saying, okay, Keshava. Now here they use the word Keshava. What the Prabhupada translated as Sri Krishna. But the Keshava means Ka iti Brahmana Isho Aham Sarvadehi Nam. That's the meaning of Keshava, by the way. Ka is Brahma and Sh. There are many meanings. Ka means Brahma and Sh means Shiva, who is the Lord of Brahma and Shiva. That is one meaning of Keshava. Another meaning of Keshava is Ka means all the living entities. And Ish, Sha means Isha, controller, who is the controller for all living entities. This is another meaning. But this meaning is more liked by jnanis. More like people, devotees who are mixed with, who like knowledge. But pure devotees, Vrajvasis, they also called him Keshava, isn't it? They call him Keshava, Keshi demon. One of the meaning is, who killed Keshi demon? And another meaning, from the perspective of Vrajvasis, is Keshava means, Ka means all Vrajvasis who are living in Vrindavan. Isha means controller, but here controller means he controls them by love. You see? So this word has many meanings according to who is chanting this name. That's the idea. So if demigods are chanting Keshava, they will think, okay, who is the Lord of Brahma and Shiva? If Vaikuntha people are chanting Keshava, for them he is the controller of all living entities. If Vrajvasis are chanting this name Keshava, then he is the controller of all the Vrajvasis, but he controls by love. So every name of Krishna can be translated into three levels. That's the idea. From the perspective of demigods, from the perspective of Vaikuntha Vasis, from the perspective of Rajvasis. And that's why Vishnu Sahasranam has 1,000 names, isn't it? We know that, no? And so every name has at least 3 meanings. So immediately you have 3,000 meanings of Vishnu Sahasranam. Means 1,000 is extended into 3,000 names. Immediately. But then Madhva says, there are, for every word of, in Vishnu Sahasranam, every name of Krishna has 1,000 meanings. Not just 3, how it does, we don't know. He taught all these 1,000 meanings of 1,000 names to his brother, to his younger brother. I forgot his name. And he said, anybody who knows this and remembers these 1,000 meanings of 1,000 names, he will become immortal. His brother is immortal. He's in Vadrika Ashram. That's what this goes, you know. But you have to remember it. You can't type it and keep it in your hard disk. That's what, actually, some people came and they told Madhva, okay, tell us. Madhva says, okay, one condition, you have to remember and then repeat. So he kept on speaking. First name, Vishnu Asaranam, Om Vishwam Vishnu Vashatkara Bhuta Bhavve Bhavat Prabhu. It goes like this. So first name is Om Vishwam. So he started giving, so he gave at least 10 meanings and he asked them to repeat. They couldn't even remember that. Just forget it, go back, you are not qualified. So that is Keshava meaning. But then these devotees ask, Sutta Goswami asks, we want not just to know the pastimes of Krishna, but we also want to know the pastimes of Rama. Saha Ramena. Saha means along with Ramena Balaram. Now this is very important. They are saying we don't just won't want Krishna's pastime, but we want pastimes of Balaram and Krishna. Because the power to understand those pastimes is given by Balaram. So if you just recount Krishna's pastimes, you will not understand it. You can't understand because Balaram is a presiding deity of knowledge. Isn't we know Chit? So Sandhini? Sandhini and Samvit? So that's Balaramji. So they told, okay, fine, we want to know both of them, Ramena and Keshava. But then Shaunak Rishi, for example, he's, okay, fine. So they have a doubt, okay. So are these pastimes ordinary? What is this pastime? These pastimes look ordinary, isn't it? But then Sutta Goswami clears, no, Ati Martayani. Now this word is very important, and that's why this, you know what, this verse is very sweet to Mayavadis because they translate in a very different way. Now, Ati Martayani Prabhupada comments as superhuman, isn't it? So Mayavadi says, yeah, that's okay. Because he was the greatest of yogis. And he got power. Shishupal used to think like that, in fact. Shishupal and Kans both. I mean to say, they were getting information, no? Kans and Shishupal, they were getting continuous information. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. He killed Putna. Still, they were not convinced he is God. Because they used to think he is a magician. He has got powers from somewhere and he is like, he is doing something, but one day we will overpower him. So they translate Ati Martayani like this. But then if you really go into this meaning, Prabhupada actually does a good work. Prabhupada says superhuman. Prabhupada doesn't say Ati Martayani, some extraordinary powers. Prabhupada doesn't say like that. Now, and he comments in this purport, that people, the theory that man becomes God by dint of penance and austerity is very much rampant nowadays. So which is his theory? Which philosophical system says that by penance and austerities you become God? So we have six philosophical systems, isn't it? Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yog, Purvamimamsa, Karmamimamsa, Vedanta. So which philosophical system? It's basically Patanjali, Yoga. Now, Patanjali system, there is a verse that Patanjali writes. Patanjali, actually he was a rishi, but by his works he confused people. And he gave a wrong philosophy there. And he writes, Purushartha Shunyananam, Purushartha Shunyananam, Karma Vipaka, that's a sutra in Patanjali. He says, any person who can be free of all karmas, he will become Ishvara. Now that's his philosophy. Simple, but that's wrong. Chaitanya Prabhu says, Patanjali and all these rishis, they were confused. They were simply confused. Yeah.
But in 6 months, if one of these words, our Acharya is commenting on Patanjali, and he gives this famous sutra, and he says that Patanjali is actually proposing to
I'll explain that. That's a good point. I mean to say, sometimes you say Patanjali is proposing a right thing, So the idea is you can take diamond from coal mine. That's the idea. So we use his some sutras to convey a message, but it's not necessary. He's right. Just like the first sutra is Chitta Vitti Nirodha. So what is meditation? You stop all material desires. Okay. There's another sutra, Ishvara Pranidhanani Va. So what is the goal? On whom you meditate? You can meditate on God. But he gives an option, Patanjali. You can meditate on God, you can meditate on fire, you can meditate on dot. So that's the problem with Patanjali. And Prabhupada is commenting that here. So that's why Prabhupada didn't write Ati Martyani as extraordinary powers. He wrote superhuman. Ati means beyond, Martyani means mortals. He is doing actions which mortals cannot conceive. People who are subjected to birth and death, they cannot do such actions even in their dreams. It's impossible for them. Like Prabhupada gives example of Govardhan Hill. You can't do. You got from the beginning. It is not some mystic power. It is God's power. And there's a difference between that. That's the word Ati Martyani. Martyani means, and in the other words, Sutta Goswami is saying, Krishna is beyond birth and death. His all pastimes are beyond birth and death. Or in other words, Martyani means mortal. Mortal means who was limited by time and space. We are limited by time and space. Krishna's pastimes are not limited by time and space. Those pastimes you explain us. Ati Martyani, Bhagwan, that word is added, Bhagwan. So he says, who can do such kind of actions? Only Bhagwan. So Krishna is Bhagwan. In fact, even in the question, Sutta Goswami knows the answer. That's funny. Okay, what are the pastimes of Krishna and this? Okay, well, you know this, you know. He is Bhagwan. I mean to say, if he knows about Krishna, that means he is knowing about all pastimes of God. But still he wants to hear. And that shows that all the Sutta Goswami, they knew, but they wanted to relish the pastimes of Krishna. They specifically wanted to hear from Sukhdev Goswami, because Sukhdev Goswami had, Sutta Goswami, because Sutta Goswami was very proficient, not just to explain, but explain in a way which is appealing to soul. And that was about Sukhdev Goswami also. When Sukhdev Goswami spoke Bhagavatam, Vyasadev and all these people came. Like Vyasadev, his guru, who taught Bhagavatam to Sukhdev. And he's speaking, and Bhagavatam says, Pibatam rasamalayam, drink the nectar of Bhagavatam. Which is said by Sukhdev Goswami. Why even Vyasadev, who taught Sukhdev, he was again hearing, because when he heard from Sukhdev, the style of presentation of Sukhdev was so interesting and so appealing and so direct that all the demigods, even his guru, was sitting there. That's how preaching should be. That's how preaching should be. They're teaching how to preach, how to give the same message but in a way that appeals. That was Prabhupada. Same message. Again and again, you're not this soul, you're not this body, your soul, Krishna is God. Same message, but in a way which was very interesting and people can understand and it appeals to them. That is Ati Martyani Bhagwan, and this word, these two words are complex. Now Mayavadis interpret them and twist them. Guda Kapata Manusha. Now Sutta Goswami says, yes, he is doing superhuman activities, but he's looking like human. If you hear his pastimes, look like human. Even Parikshit Maharaj becomes confused in 10th canto. And he asks Sukhdev Goswami, when Sukhdev Goswami recounts this Raslila, Parikshit asks Sukhdev Goswami, well, why Krishna is flirting out with girls? What's happening? And Sukhdev Goswami, he becomes angry for a moment. And he says, Parikshit, I've explained you. He is God. He can do anything. And you should understand that. Finish. And he goes. He says, it's no question, you know, of asking this question. Parikshit didn't ask for himself. He was asking for others, because when Sukhdev was speaking, there were many jnanis and yogis who got this doubt. Especially when God is dancing with girls, you know, that's a big thing. That's a very big thing. It's beyond understanding. He looks exactly like human. A lusty man, a politician, an envious king. That's what he looks, isn't it? He wrote a letter to Pondrak. Pondrak Kashi's, that king who was claiming himself as God, he wrote a letter to him. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion. He wrote, one messenger came from Pondrak to Gudwarka. And he said, that Pondrak is Krishna, you are fake, so you should surrender to him. And Krishna says, okay, tell him, this is my letter. Tell him you are a sinful frog. You are a sinful frog. And I am a black snake. And he says, be careful of me. So his actions, his dialogues, they look very lusty, very envious person, very egoistic. In Krishna, in Gita, he says, I am God, surrender unto me. What's happening? It's crazy, you know. He's speaking lies, Krishna. He's doing politics in Mahabharata. He did so much politics to defeat, like, Kauravas, you know. Like Shikhandi, that politics he did. Then Karna, he said to Arjuna, kill him, forget it, you know. And it was not rules, but he says, kill him, finish him off. He's stealing the clothes of gopis, he's a thief. And that is why, you know what Jains, you know Jain? Jain? You don't know Jain philosophy in India, Jainism. Jainism. They say Krishna is in hell. Krishna is in hell. Because he is such a crazy character. He's doing all kind of nonsense things, which is not expected from a gentleman. So according to them, by the way, Jainism. And they have written their own scriptures, you know. It's like crazy. They're like the biggest speculator. So, but then they couldn't really understand this. Ati martyani bhagwan kapata manusha. It seems confusing. Definitely it seems confusing. Kapata means what? Apparently, manusha means human being. It seems he is like a human being, but Sutta Goswami is convinced he is not human being. Now, Mayavadis translate this as kapata manusha means, manusha means human being. Kapata means, kapat means apparently. He is not God, he is human being, but something within him is God. You see that? Now, in this pastime, he is a human being. He comes as a human being. He takes a body of a human being. He acts like a human being. You see, that's what Prabhupada says. But then, what is God in him? It is not he, but the light within him. The consciousness within him is God. And that's how they translate this. But you know what the word here is? It is manusha. You see this word manusha? Our Vaishnava acharyas, they come and they say, you're wrong. It is manusha. You know what is manusha means? In Sanskrit, manush means? Manushya means? Man. If the word was kapata manushya, then we would have said, okay, he is God, but now he is human. God incarnated as human, just like in Christianity. Christ, God in flesh. That's the idea now they are bringing. Mayavadi says, if this word was manush, kapata manushya, but it is manush. And you know what manush? Manush, when it changes to manush, then it means God, human-like. It's not human. So he's human-like, but he's not human. And by Sanskrit even we can defeat them. What do you talk of philosophy? Forget this. And that's, so one of the verses in Bhagavad Gita is also there. You know that? Prabhupada says that verse, quotes, that was, yeah. Avajananti mamura manushim tanumashritam. Now this verse is very interesting to Mayavadis. They say, tanumashritam. Tanu means body. So Krishna, God takes a body. And he becomes manushya. But then acharyas comes, forget it. It is avajananti mamura. There also word is manushim. It is not manushya, it is manushim. So he is like a human. So that's what this is, kapata manusha. He is acting like a human, but he is not a human. He looks like a human, his actions look like human-like, but they are not human. How do we understand it? Why people can't understand him? Guda. Guda means masked. He covers, Prabhupada says, he covers himself by his yoga maya. And people can't understand him. Yoga maya samavritaha. When Krishna was there, only Pandavas could understand, Vrajvasis could understand, some Dwarkavasis, and that's it. Nobody could understand he's God. If Krishna wants to hide himself, nobody can understand. Even his devotees cannot understand. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees could not understand when he was acting like Nimaya Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit used to run away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was like ordinary person, you know. He didn't reveal I am a God. Mahaprabhu used to walk in a road and Gadadhar Pandit used to come in the same road, he used to change the road. Forget it, you know. All his devotees, Haridas Thakur and everybody, because Nimaya Pandit will come, he'll argue with us and then he will just spoil our devotion and he will speak his atheistic theories. And so they used to just change the way. That is God, Guda. If Krishna wants to hide himself, we can't recognize. If Krishna comes now, whole life you can spend serving him, and nevertheless we'll miss him. We'll miss. And this happened with Purandar Das, by the way. Is one of the saints in South India. Krishna came, he couldn't recognize. He couldn't recognize him. And then he went, and then Purandara was sorry, you know, Krishna, I couldn't recognize what happened, what this. Krishna, no problem. I am I. If I want to hide, you'll not be able to understand. That is why, in spite of doing all practice of devotion, if Krishna wants to hide himself, we'll never be able to understand him. That is why Prabhupada says, devotion depends only on the mercy of the Absolute Personality of Godhead. It doesn't really depend on our efforts. No matter how much efforts you do. But then why you are doing efforts? You are doing efforts to qualify yourself for that mercy. That's all. That's it. And then we can understand him. That is why our path is called path of grace. You know, Pushti Sampradaya, Vallabh Sampradaya. Prabhupada mentions that is the same path. Ours. It's a path of grace. It is not really path of efforts. Efforts drown in that ocean of mercy. If you compare your own efforts and his mercy, there's no comparison. Your efforts are this much. The ocean, mercy is so much. You forget your efforts. That's what is devotion all about. That is this verse all about, talking about Krishna and some question about him. And please remember this verse, very important verse. You can quote this. Whenever you meet Mayavadis, you can quote this to establish Krishna as supreme. People say in Bhagavatam talks about Narayan as supreme, isn't it? If you go to Sri Sampradaya, South India, Madhva Sampradaya, they say Bhagavatam talks about Narayan as supreme. Why do you say Krishna as supreme? So there are three verses in Bhagavatam which we can quote directly, which proves Krishna is greater than Narayan. He is supreme. And one verse is first canto, first chapter, that, what is that verse? Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridyanti Yoge Yoge. What's that verse? Yeah, it's in first. Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mridyanti Yoge Yoge. You can search in folio that verse. And Swayam Bhagavan. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Yeah. That verse we quote. Another verse we quote from Brahma's Prayer, 10th canto, 14th chapter. You can search there. Go and search there. Which says Krishna is superior than Narayan. And this verse, it directly says Keshava. Ati martyani Bhagwan kapatamanusha. So Bhagavatam speaks Krishna is supreme. And we can prove from Bhagavatam. It's not Narayan. We can do that directly. Not just interpretations. And there's one more verse in 11th canto. Four verses, by the way. Okay, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai. I have to go now. Hare Krishna, thank you very much, and thank you for all of your devotees to hear, and also inspire me by hearing. It's nice when people hear, you get inspired. And let's hope maybe next year Anand Prabhu we can meet sometimes. Let's see how it goes. Thank you all of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Panchatva ki jai.